In this world, we find condemnation at every corner, but not from God. You'll discover that today with Dr. Don Wilson. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And today, his message, Neither Do I Condemn You, is a grand message of encouragement straight from God's Word. As we study, know that we're available for you. We're connecting keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And on this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you and maybe connect you to great resources that will help you grow in your faith. We're here for you at The Encouraging Word. Now today's message, Neither Do I Condemn You, with Dr. Don Wilson. The Encouraging Word.
And I want to just pray for us for a moment. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, this is a very sacred moment. We use English words where the water hits the wheel. There are people's lives whose lives will change forever because of a moment like this, one time of worship, one encounter with Jesus. And Lord, today I'm joining with hundreds who are praying. I'm just asking that only you by your Spirit would speak, that you would do something today that can only be attributed to God, the Holy Spirit. Only you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're going to hear me stumble around today. I'm going to stumble and stammer because I'm going to tell you, I'm in a subject here today of which I am the center. Everything I'm going to say to you today applies to me. So what I want to begin today, this is what we're going to do. I want to begin, you need to take a copy of the Bible and turn to John chapter 7. And I tell you how important this is because nobody can say to you what God is going to teach us today in His Word. This is not your pastor, this is not Don saying this, or this is not the Pope, this is not our dear brother Dr. Billy Graham, it's not mom, it's not dad, it's not your best friend. It's nobody. Nobody can say what we're about to hear. Don't even think that I'm saying this to you, because I cannot do this. I promise you, I cannot do this. I'm just going to say this very briefly as we study together today, that at the end of John chapter 7 and the beginning of John chapter 8, there are two courtroom scenes. If you've ever watched a courtroom or being part of a jury, or we watch that all the time, people who have committed crimes and then they brought up and there's a defense and there's the prosecutor and they all come and they speak to the judge and the jury, and eventually a sentence, you know, guilty, not guilty, and then they sentenced if they're guilty, and if they're not guilty, they set free. There are actually two courtroom scenes here. I'm just going to tell you this, and then I'm going to read it. In the first one, in the courtroom scene, which happens to be in the temple in Jerusalem, the person ironically on trial in the first courtroom scene is Jesus. And it's very interesting because everybody's really mad with him. They're upset. They don't like him. And they don't even bring him in. So he doesn't even get an opportunity to defend himself. And the gentlemen of the jury in the courtroom sit down and they just condemn him. So here you've got Jesus, who is sinless, who's guiltless. He's God. He's done nothing. And he gets condemned. The next courtroom scene, which begins in chapter 8, we're back there in the temple, and there's Jesus now, himself, the one who was condemned even though he was innocent. And they keelhaul a lady in there who's guilty of sin. And in this courtroom scene, the only one who is actually qualified to condemn her doesn't. So watch this, just a couple of verses, okay? So I'm in John chapter 7, and I'm going to begin to read from verse 43. There was division among the people over him, sounds like us today. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but nobody laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees and said to them, "Why did you not bring him to us?" And the officers said, "No one ever spoke like this man." And the Pharisees says, "So you all are deceived, huh? You're falling for it. You're falling for this Jesus." There's kind of a little bit of a mockery there. I don't know if you've ever been mocked for following Jesus, like at school. So verse 47, verse 48, "Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, who had gone to him before and was one of them, said, 'Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?'" By the way, in the Mosaic law, according to the law, you're going to say this sounds like America. I mean, this is a long time ago. According to the Jewish law, any person who was condemned had to have their day in court. Interesting. And when it came to Jesus, he didn't even have his day in court, and they condemned him anyway. So the very people who ran everything according to the law didn't practice the law. That's how much they just condemned Jesus. And they replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises." So every one of them get up, they've condemned Jesus, and they go to their own house. Verse 1 of chapter 8, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives." Interesting to me, Jesus went back up to that high mountain, that special place, that place where he was going to go back and be seated on God's throne. The final authority is where God is. So I'm going to give you the final authority on sin in just a minute. Early in the morning, he came back to the temple, so he walked down from the Mount of Olives, and he crossed the Kidron Valley, and he went back to the temple, back to church. He went back to church. Look what happened here. All the people came to him. He sat down, taught to him. So the scribes and the Pharisees, they brought to him a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and placing her right in the middle of them, they said, "Teacher, now we're going to get you. Now you're going to have a problem. We're going to catch you. We're going to trap you. We're going to show you up. This woman has been caught in sin. She's guilty." By the way, if you want to talk about the law, anyone who was caught guilty of that sin, you know what the punishment was? Being stoned to death. It's execution. It's like they still do in places like Saudi Arabia today. Some people say, "Oh, that used to happen." The abuse of women goes on. And the silence of the world is deafening. At any rate, just get back to this here. "Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say, big boy?" I mean, they were very in his face. This is Jesus. Here's this person guilty of sin. The law says she must be stoned to death, so what do you say? Now we got you. Now remember, these are the same people who condemned him without even giving him a day in court. He was guiltless. There was no charge against him. He was sinless. I want you to feel the hypocrisy here. And it's a great story here. Let me just get through the story. So verse 6, "They said this to test him, that he might have some charge bring against him. Jesus bent down, wrote with his finger." Some people said, why did Jesus bend down and write with his finger twice? I think he was giving them time to let it soak in. Jesus bent down, looked like he was doing something. And as they continued, he stood up and he said, here's what I'll do. Watch this, verse 7. He said, "Let the one who is without sin among you be the first one to throw a stone and kill her." Go on, go on. Who's who's without sin? Who would like to stand up and say, look at what so-and-so's done? Stone him, throw them out, ostracize, cast them away. Let them suffer with us for the rest of their life. Once more he bent down, wrote on the ground, and when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. I'm going to say something about that. And Jesus was left alone, just Jesus and me. We used to sing a song. Jesus was left alone with this woman standing before him, and Jesus stood up and he said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one has condemned me, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and do not sin anymore. Now watch this. This is great stuff. Just four facts quickly. Number one, all of us have sinned. Bible tells us all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, you read that time without number. Bible says there is not one person who is righteous. So if you're going to take a survey today, my hand is going to go up first. If you ask who's a sinner in here, my hand is up. Not only because the Bible tells me, but I know it. I know it. I'm a sinner. I'm a continual, habitual sinner. I've got sin in my life going years ago. I've got sin in my life going back years and years and years and years ago that I battle to overcome. And I've got sin in my life today. All of us have sinned. Second fact I want to tell you is that the least qualified among us will condemn us. The greatest condemnation that will come your way will be from people who are least qualified to condemn you, because we're all sinners.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment with more of today's message. Neither do I condemn you. And oh, in this time and age, we need that. There is so much condemnation. Matter of fact, it seems to be a tool of the way we communicate these days. Instead of taking a breath and saying, all right, Lord, where do you stand in this? Again, we'll be back in just a moment with more of Dr. Don's message, but he wants me to remind you we are here for you, not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day, happy to talk or listen or pray or maybe put you in contact with some great free resources that will help you grow in your faith. One of my favorites and one of the most popular is the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. You can get a hard copy of it by calling 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-WORD. 899-9673. Love to send that to you absolutely free. But you can also sign up right now online at tewonline.org. That's our website, tewonline.org. We'll connect you with an opportunity to sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email. And every morning about 6 o'clock, it will literally infuse your day with God's Word, a word of encouragement from Dr. Wilton, and an opportunity to pray your way forward. All of that's online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Number three, the most qualified person will not condemn you. Just think about that. We're all sinners. The least qualified will condemn you. The most qualified won't condemn you. And here's the fourth thing. The Holy Spirit will convict you. I don't do that. You don't do that. Even as we worship the Lord today, last week, at home, at work, at play, last month, 10 years ago, 50, God is going to convict you by His Spirit, which means that He is going to make known to you that what you have done and or are doing is sinful in the eyes of God, to the point at which God cannot in any way accept our sin. If your sin is not forgiven, you will never be reconciled to God. You will never have peace with God. So you're robbed of peace. And I want you to hear this. I need everybody, listen up. This is very important. At no time whatever is Jesus talking about excusing sin. You find yourself at any time today sitting there saying, oh, well, gosh, Jesus never excused or gave us permission or said we wouldn't face the consequences. Now, I want you to listen carefully. So this is what happened. I want you to look at a couple of things. Look at the setting. Look at the temple. So here are all these people. To me, it's somewhat special in a kind of a funny way, but also sort of ironic that everything that we're talking about that happened to Jesus happened in church. You know, sometimes you and I, we face the barrage of condemnation for who we are, for what we've done out there at school, at college campus, in the office, on the playing fields of life. But Jesus was showing us the greatest condemnation comes from in the church. So, number two, look at the religious people. There were lots of them here. In Jesus' day and age, they were called scribes and Pharisees. In our day and age, they called pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, Christian men and women, life group leaders, best friends who are Christians, religious leaders, religious leaders. I mean, this is very straight talk that's going on here. Look at the law. The law was very clear. Someone be found guilty in this case of committing adultery and of being unfaithful, the law said, you're going to be killed, you're going to be executed, you get a death sentence. That's what the law said. What does the law say in our land? The law, even our secular law, addresses the issue of crime and punishment, and correctly so. I'm not negating that. Probably one of the things I hear most, even from inmates in prisons all across the country, is they'll come to me and they'll say things like, well, Pastor, how can I ever shake this? How can I ever be free? This is going to hang over me for the rest of my life. Some of you today, there's sin that people know, sin people don't know. It's like a fog. It's like a backpack you carry with you all the time. I'm going to tell you something amazing. Look at the woman. In this case, there was the woman guilty as charged. Look at the heart. Now, this is about heart stuff here. Because when Jesus got involved in this, he didn't look at the law and he didn't look at the outer appearance and he didn't look at all the trappings and he didn't look at all the human innuendos and suggestions and gossip and hate mongering and breaking down and pointing fingers. He just looked straight at the heart of this woman. But guess what? He didn't only look at the heart of the woman, he looked straight into the heart of these religious leaders. It knocked their socks off. I mean, just consider this for a minute. Here they are saying, come on now, what are you going to say about it? This is what the law said. Jesus looks at them and says, well, how about whichever one of you has not sinned? Why don't you pick up the stone and start the ball rolling? He just looks straight at their heart. It's like they were standing there and say, wait a minute, man, don't you understand? Everybody here knows I'm a religious person. Look at the gown I'm wearing. Look at the Bible I'm holding. Look at the church I go to. Look at the way I speak. You know, I can quote the Psalms. Jesus said, just forget all that. I'm going to look at your heart right now. So yeah, he looked at the heart of the woman, but let's not get away from the fact he looked at the heart of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he said to them very clearly, he said, listen. He said, okay, here's how we're going to deal with this. All of those of you that believe that you've got a right to pick up that stone, why don't you get up and start stoning her to death? Well, then the next people we got to look at is the older people. Now, that really got to me. Maybe because I'm just a little older. I don't know, but it got... Why did Jesus want us to know the older of these religious people? I'm just going to say this. One of the things you will discover as you get older is that you get it more. I just want to run that by again. When I was younger, I had a frivolous attitude toward my sin. Thought I could just shove it under the table, and I just got in someone's face who messed with me, and I just carried these burdens. But today I'm beginning to really get this. You know what I'm praying for today when it comes to this issue of sin? That it doesn't matter how young you are today, you get it. The earlier you get it, the greater freedom you're going to experience. I promise you. So we've got to look at the Savior. Ultimately, this is about looking at Jesus. Now, here's what Jesus did. Jesus looked at this woman. She was guilty as charged. He never excused her sin. But he looked into her heart. And he did two things. He said, here's what I want you to do, because I'm Jesus, because I am dying for you, giving my life for you in me, because of me, through me. When you come to me, I want you to know that I'm going to set you free from walking in condemnation. But I am going to set you free to walk under conviction. Jesus gave to her two streams here. He said, let's deal with the first one, condemnation. Jesus looked at her and said, I want you to know, when you look at me, when you come to me, when you confess your sin to me, when you encounter me and repent of your sin before me, I am going to forgive you to the point that there is no more condemnation. I'm going to lift that. Let me tell you what condemnation. I have lived with condemnation for part and for some of my life. I know what that is. And so many of us live under condemnation of the sin that we've given to God, and we know, we say, man, I know I'm supposed to be forgiven. But I sure don't feel forgiven. I'm carrying this load. You know, this is what I did, and I'm just going to carry this for the rest of my life. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Now, here's what happens if you, this is what condemnation does, even though you've been forgiven. Condemnation, it reminds you. So every once in so often, every 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 10 weeks, every year, 2 years, 10 years, it'll knock at you and say, excuse me, remember what you did, yeah. By the way, what does the devil do? The devil is as a roaring lion, prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. It returns to you. It comes back. It grows. Condemnation grows. Condemnation festers like a sore. It just gets pussier and pussier. It becomes worse and worse. Condemnation destroys you. Jesus said, I no longer condemn you, but I convict you. Go and sin no more. And what conviction does, conviction breaks the cycle of that sin. Conviction holds you to accountability before a holy and a righteous God. Holy Spirit conviction calls you to a life of holiness. That's what he was saying to her. From now on, I've removed condemnation. Walk, don't do this anymore. You are now set free. Here's what's going to happen. When you walk under my conviction, it breaks the power. It holds you accountable. It calls you to holiness. It enables you to live according to God's standards. And it makes you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. So Jesus is looking at your heart and mine. Are you a sinner? Number one, have you confessed that sin to Jesus? Sins, plural. That sin, that one sin. In this case, Jesus is talking about one. What sin is in your life? Jesus says to you, I declare you to be set free from condemnation. You are no longer condemned. It's gone. That load is gone. But I am commanding you to walk under my conviction. Because from now on, with me in command of your life. I want you to know, I'm going to hold you to this. I'm going to call you to holiness. I'm going to enable you to be able to continue to live in a way that's well-pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. In ourselves, we can't do that, but the Spirit of God can do it.
Oh, He can do it, and He's ready to do it in and through you right now. I know you've heard Dr. Wilton preaching with such power and conviction from God's Word in the pulpit, but right now, He's coming into the studio to share with you perhaps the most important thought of the entire day.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name, my friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you've given your heart to Jesus and praying with Dr. Don right now, or maybe you've rededicated your life to Jesus, we have wonderful resources to put in your hands. Call us and let us know how we can pray with you and continue in the next steps. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. I'll slow down. You can jot it down or store it in your cell. 866-899-9673. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you, connect with great resources. As a matter of fact, all of our resources are on our website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. As a matter of fact, I'm really excited about this brand new opportunity to connect with God's Word called The Poured Out Believer.
Do you struggle with frustration, depression, disappointment, or loneliness? You can gain a new perspective to see your life and the lives of others through the lens of God. This month, for your gift of $25 or more per set to the Encouraging Word, you will receive two ministry resources: Dr. Wilton's stirring message, The Poured Out Believer, and the bonus book, The Bumps Are What You Climb On, by Warren Wiersbe. Both of these resources will help you gain strength to serve God faithfully, no matter what age you are or whatever your circumstance. Call us at 866-899-WORD and request The Poured Out Believer, available on CD or DVD, along with the bonus book today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
It's been a great week here at The Encouraging Word, and I pray you've been blessed and encouraged and challenged to spend some time in church on Sunday. All right, now we can't go into church on Sunday, not yet. Hopefully that's going to be happening very soon, but you can connect, whether it's Facebook Live or on television. We'll be sharing the Word of God with Dr. Don Wilton. You can find details on our website at tewonline.org, and I can assure you that Dr. Don would say you need to be plugging into a local church as well, and if you can, make an opportunity, maybe even invite someone to stream live with you or connect with you as you watch on television, and let the Lord unite your hearts even across the distance. God is ready to do it. Again, online at tewonline.org. We'll continue broadcasting and connecting throughout the weekend. Have a blessed one. The